Awesome, awesome. Well, you got your Bibles? Jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're continuing looking at 1 Corinthians, and just to give you again some background on what Paul is writing, he's writing to a church that is still kind of new. There have been several different divisions that have kind of cropped up within the church that Paul is addressing, and bless them, they just needed some help, and that's what Paul was addressing in this book of Corinthians. And so we're just going to break it down into four parts this evening and just see what the Word of God has got to say to us today. Because I don't know about you, but I'm a firm believer that the Word of God, even though it was written several thousand years ago, is still pertains to our life today. It still affects our life today, no matter what anybody says. And, you know, I was reading even an article that a lot of people now are just saying, well, the Bible wasn't inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was just written by a bunch of people about God. And there's Christians that believe that. And I'm like, no, I'm not having that. I'm not having that. This is the Word of God, and it is true as it was back when Paul was writing this book and, you know, all the books within the Bible. It is still true today for us, and it still impacts our lives today, and we still need to live by what the Bible says. If it says it's okay to do something, then it's great. We're good to do it. If it says not to do something, then let's not try and justify sin. Amen. That's not where we're going today, but that's just, you know, just getting on my little soapbox there. Blessed. But let's pray, and let's see what God has got to say to us this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Wednesday night service, Lord. We thank you for your word, God, that it impacts our lives today. Father, and we just pray now, Lord, that it will just open up our hearts, Father. Lord, that you will illuminate things in our lives that maybe are needing to be changed, Father, but also just that know that everybody has a plan by you, God, a purpose from you for their lives. And so, Father, I pray that you will use me to just speak your words this evening. And Father, we pray that you will just come and have your way. Lord, open up our hearts and ears to listen and receive what you've got to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're looking at the human body. Well, we're kind of not looking at the human body, but we are. We're looking at the body of Christ. This is a familiar piece of scripture that we probably know. A lot of pastors have preached messages on this. And so I've just entitled mine very simply, One Body, Many Parts. Okay? So the area that we're looking at is one body and many parts. If you remember kind of just looking at the spiritual gifts in verse 12 that we looked at last week, and just knowing that everybody has got different spiritual gifts. So they were in Corinth during those times, remember, talking about how they would say, well, if somebody had this spiritual gift, that made them more important than somebody else who maybe didn't have that spiritual gift. And so Paul continues then to talk and reminding them that we're one body, but everybody has many parts. That we're all individually crafted by God, but we each have a purpose, but it works so much better when we come together. And so, you know, the human body is amazing, if you think about it. You know, you've got all these different parts of your body, and you know, anybody experience like toothache? You know, I sometimes get toothache, but it kind of drives up into you and gives you a headache. And, you know, I've heard of different scenarios where like sports injuries, where somebody could have pulled a muscle in their back, but it affects their leg. I don't know if you guys have heard different stories like this, but it's amazing that that some part of the body, if it hurts, it affects most of your body. You know, and so Paul then is using this analogy of the body to show the importance then of the church being unified, the church church members getting to know what their part is. And so, like I said, if a seemingly insignificant part is taken away, then the whole body becomes less effective. And so starting at verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12, my first point is we need to, as Christians, appreciate the fellowship of the body. We need to appreciate the fellowship of the body. Looking at 12 and 13, says, the human body has many parts, but many parts make up only one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit, and we have all received the same Spirit. And see, the first two verses gives the theological basis for the body imaginary that we're looking at. And so the parts are different for a purpose. Everybody, you know, you have a purpose within this church. Believe it or not, you have a purpose in this church. Like Paul was saying to the Corinthian church, you all each have a place. Well, we each have a place. You know, the parts are different for different purposes, but they must work together. The problem is that we have to avoid two different areas as Christ followers, as a church congregational member, okay? The first thing that we have to avoid is being proud of your abilities. You know, it's like Randall saying, oh, look at me, I can play the guitar, look how great I am. And then another guitar player kind of coming in, nope. I'm better than you. You just sit in the congregation and you just stay there. We've got to avoid being proud, because I know that Randall would do that, you know. No, I'm messing with you, Randall. But then the other thing is thinking that you have nothing to give. The two ends of the spectrum here. One is being proud of the gifts that you've been given. And then the second area is just saying, no, I've got nothing to give. So I'm just going to stay over here and I'm just going to sit. And I'm just going to just sit, enjoy service, and maybe, you know, leave a little bit early or, you know, arrive a little bit late and just come in and enjoy the service. But I'm not going to, there's nothing that I can offer. And see, the problem is the two key problems that constantly plague the Church of America today. And I always say this, but in England, you know, they're the two countries that I've lived in, so I can say that. But they prevent us from enjoying the diversity and the unity that Christ wants from us. And these two tendencies are what we might simply call an inferiority complex and a superiority complex. Self-pity and pride. And so while certain Christians think they don't have anything to offer, therefore they fail to participate in the life of the church, and the body cannot be complete. But in the same way, we have others that think of themselves as God's gift to the church, and they make it impossible for others to contribute their gifts. And again, the body cannot function well. And so if this passage teaches us anything, it teaches us that both inferiority feelings and superiority feelings are out of bounds in Christ's church. Everybody has a place in Christ's church. We're all in this together. And so instead of comparing ourselves to one another, which is again what Paul has already addressed several times, but instead of comparing ourselves to one another, we should use our different gifts together to glorify Him, to spread the good news of Christ Jesus. Moving on then to verse 14 through 20. So the first point, like I said, is we've got to make sure that we enjoy the fellowship and appreciate the fellowship of the body. Moving on then to verse 14 and 20, it says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am only an ear and not an eye, what would that make it any? Would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? Or if the whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But God made our bodies with many parts, and He has put each part just where He wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Do not underestimate your importance to the body of Christ. Do not underestimate your importance to the body of Christ. In these verses, Paul is somewhat humorous and vain in some respects and using this analogy of the body as he attempts to get his point across to the members of this church body and getting his point across that everybody has a different role to play. But all these parts are needed in order for the body to function as a unit. For a body to function, such diversity is essential. Individual members cannot separate themselves without harming the body. And just as a foot cannot decide to leave the body because it is not a hand, so a believer who does not have a particular gift cannot decide that he or she is no longer a part of the church. Just think of a foot for an instance, okay? The foot maybe then gets jealous of the hand. Why? Well, the hand, look, I've got a wedding ring on the hand. You know, some of you ladies like to, you know, I hope none of you men like to do this. But, you know, manicure, is it manicure? Is that what they call them? And they paint their nails, you know. Bella is all into that. She's the little princess, you know. But the foot could easily get jealous, you know, and go, well, you know, how many times in a church meeting have we gone, okay, we're going to vote on a certain subject, you know, whatever that means, all in favor, put your hand up. You don't go, all in favor, put your foot up. We'd all look pretty silly, wouldn't we? But the foot could get jealous of the hand because the hand is the one that everybody sees. The hand, you know, does a lot. The foot could easily get jealous. The foot could have an inferiority complex because the hand gets all the limelight. But just imagine then if your foot decided, oh, that's it. I'm jealous of the hand. I'm out of here. You might be walking around a little funny. Or if both feet went, you know, it'll be a little bad. But you'll be in bad shape, wouldn't you, without your foot? Did you know that your foot has over 200 different muscles to walk? So if your feet and their muscles are not working, well, you're not going to be going very far. And so furthermore, if you dislocate just even a tiny foot bone in your foot, you're going to struggle to walk. Your whole foot, your whole body, sorry, would be miserable because of that. I don't think I've broken any bones in my body, but what I have done is in playing soccer, I had somebody stamp on my foot and just bruise my big toe, and man, that went straight up my leg. I mean, I was like walking around like I had broken something. But can you imagine if the foot just decided to walk around? Well, feet are awfully important. So why should the foot then say, I don't count, I'm not important, no one ever notices me, no one cares about me, nobody cares what I do. If I do anything, no one seems for me to care. I don't belong, I might as well just give up because I'm the foot. Nobody sees me. The foot's very important to your body. And so God rewards the foot based on being the foot. That's what he was designed to be. The foot was designed to be the foot. So God said, I'm going to judge you at how well you are a foot. Quit comparing yourself to a hand because I didn't make you to be a hand. I made you to be a foot. Your feet are there to keep you walking, to stand up. Your hands are there to wave at people, shake hands, you know. But they're two different parts completely. But sometimes don't we do this? We go, well, I want to be that hand. But God didn't design you to be a hand. He designed you to be a foot, and that's how you're going to be rewarded. If you've been gifted as a foot, it's easy to look at those the gifts of the hands and think, well, how skilled, well, how capable they are, and that you're not important at all. However, all God expects of you is to do what you can with what you have. Remember that each part of the body is important. And so, you know, some believers in Corinth are being really discouraged because they were looking again at spiritual gifts, you know, like we were talking about last week. And they were so discouraged because somebody didn't have a gift of, you know, say, I don't know, the gift of healing or something. And they would look at somebody else, go, oh, man, I wish I would have them. Well, obviously, I'm not Christian enough, or I'm just not good enough, so I'm just going to walk away. Because, you know, the church was ranking everything and these, you know, different gifts. And I don't have one of those. And so I'm just not worth it. They believe that they cannot be a truly part of the body unless they experience some particular gift. And I believe that there's many of us, I've been in this situation that feels that way. But Paul explains through this metaphor that all the different gifts given by the Spirit are to believers must be utilized in order for the church to function well. Paul makes it clear that God is the one that has given you the gift for the church. You know, the pastor hasn't, a deacon hasn't given you the gift. No, God has given you that gift. So if God has given you that gift, He wants you to have that gift. So quit looking at other people's gifts and going, I want that gift. Well, maybe God didn't create you for that gift. And so He has placed you in this church for such a time as this to use the gifts that God has given you. The church is all about the sovereignty of God. And so we are one because of God's work. So make sure that we appreciate the fellowship of the body. Do not underestimate your importance to the body of Christ. And thirdly, do not overestimate your importance to the body of Christ. Verses 21 through 26 says, then the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect from eyes of others those parts that should not be seen, while other parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other equally. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are to be glad. And see, Paul explains that we need to squash spiritual pride. We need to squash it. We need to zap it. Spiritual pride, go away. We don't need it. God doesn't need it. We obviously don't need it. Paul says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. With this statement, Paul seems to be getting closer to the difficult issues that were going on in this church that were facing Corinth. As we've seen on several occasions in this letter, pride was a problem. This is a problem that was going on in this church. And Paul needed to get across to all the members, not just to certain individuals, but all the members, to make sure that even, because I don't know about you, but I look up to people sometimes. You know, maybe we shouldn't, but I think we all do. We have different people within our lives that we look up to. We have people within our own church that are looking up at us and seeing how we act. We've got children that are next door. I've explained this before, but they are looking at us on how to act. We've got family members that maybe aren't saved that are looking at us on how to act. And in the same way, you have these church folks that are maybe a little younger in their spiritual walk, and they're looking up to these people that maybe are teaching them, that maybe giving them guidance, and they're not being given the best advice, the best role models to look at. What they're looking at is leaders that are saying, okay, your spiritual gifts are ranked, and if you're not, you know, ranked on this list, then I'm sorry, you're just not that spiritually gifted. And so they're seeing all this. And so what you've got is these young believers or these believers that have just come to know Christ that are looking and saying, okay, that's how we should act. And that's why Paul is saying, no, I'm writing this letter to all of you to understand that what you've been taught is actually kind of wrong. And so we all need to make sure that you never overestimate your importance to the body of Christ. As I said, pride was indeed a problem among the Corinthians. And so what was happening here is Paul was arguing that every member of the body is necessary. There are no exceptions. Those body parts that are deemed weaker or less honorable, maybe less presentable, are all critically important. If we have somebody that walks into our church and we go, oh, don't like the look of them, or man, I know their backstory, I don't know if we can trust them. God's saying, hey, they're now a member of our church and they've got a part to play. And so, like I said earlier, don't be thinking, you know, oh, just because you've got a gift that you're now the best gift person in the church. You've got a part to play, but we've all got a part to play. We've all got a part to play. And we tend to forget that many of the strengths that we admire in one person are often incompatible with the strengths that we admire in another. You know, the grace of a figure skater is useless to a sumo wrestler. You know what I'm saying? If you had a figure skater trying to be a sumo wrestler, that's just not going to work out. They're built for different sports. Olympic teams, all right? USA, you are, you know, as America, you guys are great at the Olympics. You, like, won the last one. Britain did okay. I think we got bronze, but we'll take third best. But you guys won the Olympics. But can you imagine, again, one of the cyclists trying to do the 100-meter sprint? It's not going to happen. But you know what? When they realized that they were a team, they all had their own individual sports. They won as a group hold the most gold medals. And so I think they won the most medal count and gold medals at the last Olympics. Why? Because they were a team, but each person had a job to do for the whole team to win. So don't overestimate your importance, though, to the body of Christ. I love the bit that says towards the end, which is, it says, this makes harmony among the members so that all members care for each other equally. Equally. If one person fails, or if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one is honored, all the parts are honored. What is your response when a Christian is honored? How'd you act? If we decided to bring Sister Marshall up here and go, thank you so much, Marshall, for driving the van. You were awesome. And hand her $1 million check. We're going to be excited by that. We're not. I'm sorry. I would love to do that. But we don't have $1 million. But if we did that, you know, what would your reaction be? Would you be happy? Oh, that's awesome. We get to bless somebody because she is doing an awesome job with driving the van ministry and getting people into church. Man, we're excited for you. Or we go, well, I help around here. Well, am I not getting honored? What about me? Well, you're a part of the one body. So basically, back to the Olympics, okay, Marshall got a gold medal. We should be like, yeah, our team got a gold medal. That is awesome. I want to go get me a gold medal now. But that's, again, we shouldn't be doing it for earthly gifts, okay? That's great if one of us is honored. But at the same time, our reward is in heaven. You know, when we get our crown, it's going to be awesome. And you'll be like, ah, look at my crown. It's awesome. And we'll be like, yay, look at your crown. You know, we'll get excited for each other. But how are we, when we see a fellow Christian honored? And in the same response, how do we respond when someone is suffering? How do we respond? Do we see someone and just say, well, I know you're suffering, but I don't really know you too well. Or actually, I just don't really like you, so I know you're going through something, but I'm just not going to. You know, I mean, we laugh about it, but it's happened. You know, I a couple of weeks ago, you know, had a phone call and I cried with that person, literally on the phone because of what they were going through. It touched my heart. And that should be what our response is when a fellow member of our church is going through something. When they're suffering, we suffer with them. Why? Because they may be a toe on the foot. But if that toe hurts, it hurts the whole body. And so when we see somebody in need as a church, we go, man, we need to pray, we need to cry, we're suffering with you. Romans talks about this, about how we have to be happy with those who are happy and sad when they are sad. But too often we are jealous of the ones that we should be rejoicing with, and we're apathetic towards those who weep. But believers, we are, as Christ followers, we're in this journey together. We're not in it alone. Too many times we think, I'm in this journey alone. Leave me alone. I don't want to be a part of you. But the thing is that we're Christ's body. And so if you're hurting, we need to, as Christians, hurt with you. Why? Because we just want to support you. We want to love you. But also at the same time, if you're being honored, we want to celebrate. We want to rejoice with you. If you have had healing that happened on your body, I don't want us to be, as Christ followers, going, man, well, I really need healing as well. Why is God not going to heal me? No, we should be going, that is awesome. healing has taken place, we should be shouting. We should be celebrating. We should be getting all ecstatic. Why? Because, hey, God has healed one of our body members, our parts of our body. That is awesome. I don't need to hurt anymore. But do we do that? We need to get involved in the lives of others and not just enjoy our own relationship with God. And then lastly, we need to celebrate the diversity of the body. We're all different. In chapter 12, 27. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. If you get nothing out of tonight's sermon, remember that. That each one of you is a separate and necessary part. You may be, you are separate, but you're a necessary part of Dorothy Assembly of God. Here is a list of some of those members that God has placed in the body of Christ. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers. Then those who do miracles, those who give the faith of healing, the gift of healing, sorry, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together, and those who speak an unknown language. Is everyone an apostle? Of course not. Is everyone a prophet? No. Are all teachers? Of course not. Does everybody have the power to do miracles? Does everyone have the gift of healing? Of course not. Does God give all of us the ability to speak in unknown languages? Can everyone interpret unknown languages? No. And in any event, you should desire the most helpful gifts. Having established then, from what we've just read, that we need to have church unity, but there is diversity in the church unity. Everybody is created differently. So Paul goes on to describe then this diversity by list, but it's not a complete list, okay? Again, the first part of this list is very important, but again, you know, we've each been given different gifts from God, and just because it may not be in this list, it may fall under the category of that list, okay? But the first three gifted people listed are those are very, very important, and he put them in this order for a purpose. You see, these are important because the first three are people that proclaim the gospel and teach the truth. We need those in the church. You can't have a church if there is nobody to proclaim the gospel and teach. Because if not, we'll just be having a social meeting. And I don't know about you, I don't want no social meeting. I want us to proclaim the gospel and teach God's truth. Amen? Amen. And so we'll just briefly, I know time's getting away from us a little bit, but briefly give you a definition of each of these. Apostles is a spiritual gift. This is the ability to begin and to oversee churches or new churches and Christian ministries with a spontaneously recognized authority. Prophets is the ability to receive and proclaim a message from God. This could involve the foretelling of future events, though its primary purpose is seen, and we're going to look at this in more depth in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 3, where Paul says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening and encouraging and comfort, and that is for the church, okay? So if you're prophesying and it is not strengthening, encouraging, or comfort, you're probably not prophesying, okay? So with that being said, this gift provides a word from God to the church. And so then you have the teachers, the ability to clearly explain and effectively apply the truth of God's words so that others will learn. And this requires the capacity to accurately interpret Scripture, engage in necessary research, and organize the results in a way that is easily communicated. So then the rest of the list reveals other gifts. And some have been noted earlier on in this chapter, but you have the gift of miracles, the ability to serve as an instrument through whom God accomplishes acts that manifest supernatural powers. Miracles bear witness to the presence of God and the truth of His proclaimed word and appear to occur most frequently in association with actually missionary activities. But again, we're in a mission field, so we're missionaries. The gift of healing is the ability to serve as human instruments through whom God supernaturally cures illnesses and restores health. Gift of helps, the ability to enhance the effectiveness of the ministry of the other members of the body. So you may have that gift of helping, okay? And so maybe, hey, we've got a 4th of July picnic going on. I can help. Well, how can you help? We'd love for you to help. Well, you know what? I can make some chili. That's how I can help. Awesome. You know, we need chili. I like to eat chili. You know, you actually, you know, you guys have been awesome. Everybody has jumped in to help in different ways. Then you've got the gift of helping. Amen. So if you get nothing out of this, you may have had the gift of helping and you didn't realize this all along. The gift of administration. Again, this word like helps appears only one time in the New Testament, and it is used it's to suggest that the spiritual gift is of administration is to help steer the church towards the fulfillment of its goals. You know, we've got, Nancy's done the administration stuff here for several years and did an awesome job with it. And we couldn't have, you know, she's been given that gift. Right now, Brenda is doing the secretary work. And she's doing an awesome job with it as well. And again, she's been given the gift of administration. You may have also been given the gift of administration to help do what we need to be doing within the church that God has called us. And then it's interesting that lastly, Paul says, those who speak in unknown languages, various kinds of tongues, the ability to receive a message from God and speak it out in a service. Now again, this is, within the Assemblies of God, we believe that when you are baptized with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of that is that you speak in tongues, okay? But then there is the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues is for, say, in a service like we've had or haven't, that somebody has a word from God and is a message from tongues, and then there is an interpretation of tongues. But the problem was, and it was interesting that Paul puts this last, and it's significant that he puts it last, because everybody, and we still do this sometimes today, that was focused so much on the tongue speaking that that was becoming more important than anything else within the church. This is one of those gifts that seemed to have caused so much division, and so Paul placed it as a relatively unimportant gift. Now, I think it is important, but it's still important, even if it's at the bottom of the list that he's writing here. It is still important, but compared with those who share the gospel, then in some respects he's saying, look, don't focus on the tongue speaking, okay? Focus on the living out there. The tongue speaking is great. There is a purpose for it, but don't be so focused on that. And so, our focus then should be, from reading this, is that every one of us should be serving within the church in some ways. I've heard people say, well, yeah, but I'm just an inactive Christian. There is no such thing as an inactive Christian, okay? As like saying, oh, I'm an honest thief. I'm going to go break into something, but I'll be honest and let you know. You know, or it's like saying that, I don't know. I could go several different ways, but we won't. But it's a paradox really in term. No Christian is without a special supernatural gift from God. God has given you a gift. And inactive Christians are about as good as the bumps on a pickle. You know, I don't eat pickles that much, but my wife does. And I look and I go, what's the point of a bump? That's what an inactive Christian is. In the Bible, there is no such thing as an inactive Christian. And so Paul prepares to close out this passage with a third list of gifts in a descending order. And each of Paul's seven questions expects a negative answer, where he writes, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. See, Paul's point here is that it would be ridiculous for everybody to have the same gift. Variety is essential. It is wrong to equate just one gift. And I just want to close on this thought. Anybody do puzzles? I'm pretty useless at them, but my kids do puzzles. You do puzzles? Okay, so just imagine a 500-piece puzzle. So here we have a 500-piece puzzle. What do you normally do when you open a box with a 500-piece puzzle? You get all the pieces out. And all the pieces look different, don't they? All the pieces look different. They're different shapes. They're different colors. The image that's on them is different. And so what you have to do then is start placing them together and start fixing them. But I've done puzzles before and got so frustrated. I'm like, this one surely should go here. And you start like bending the corners to put it in. And it, you know, even if you completed it, there'll be one bent too out of place. It wouldn't be complete, would it? Each piece fits in only one place. And if you try to force it, it's not going to work out. I believe that our church is very much like a jigsaw puzzle. I would make a guess that there's probably about, I would go as far as if everybody showed up together, around 40 people, maybe over 40 people, that would say that Dorothy Assembly of God is their home church. They may not show up every week. And if you're listening to this online, would love to see you on Sunday. But every one of them that says that this is their home has a unique talent. You have an unique ability. You have spiritual gifts that God wants to use. Furthermore, every one of them is vital to the big picture. You are vital to the big picture, to the proper functioning of this church. We all are. There are no spares, there's no extras. I did Lego with my son the other night, and there was extra bits that you left out because they give you extra. Well, that's not how the puzzle that we are as Dorothy Assembly of God is. No, you've each got your own part to play. And so maybe you've been frustrated and going, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm a corner piece. And God's saying, you're not a corner piece, you're one of the centerpieces of the puzzle. But I don't want to be a corner piece. No, but you're a centerpiece. Quit arguing with God and do what God's asked you and created you to be, okay? But if one person tries to do something, else that somebody else is better suited to do, we end up within two people out of place. With the jigsaw puzzle, we'll end up. And this means that we, as a church, we all need to discover what the spiritual gifts are that God has given us and serve in the most fruitful way that we possibly can. What puzzle piece are you in Dorothy Assembly of God? It's a serious question. It's something to think about, because when we all function together, man, God can do some amazing things. Some wonderful things. And that's what happened in Corinth. You know, yes, Paul had to write this letter inspired by the Holy Spirit to sort them out, but it was also so inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it affects us today. That's how God is. He's awesome, you know? That's why this word of God is not old hat. Because God is trying to teach us something. Let us work in unity. Let us find our place so that we can impact this community so much more. So much more. We've got this cookout coming up. See what God can do through us. We've got the VBS. Let's see what God can do through us. But pray. Pray this week. God, where am I in this jigsaw puzzle of Dorothy Assembly of God? You may be interested. You may be thinking, well, I've got the gift of administration. And God's saying, nope, you've got the gift of helping. You know, think about it. Pray about it. Read over the scripture verses yourself this week. Read over chapter 12 from verses 12 through to through 31. See what God is going to say to you. And I'll end on this and it will lead into next week. But Paul closes this part of the section out. First, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. I'm going to leave you hanging on that, because we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 next week. And it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But would you stand with me and let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word, God, that has impacted our lives this evening. And Father, I pray that you will help us to find our part in this church that you have called us to be in, Father. Lord, whatever it may be, we want to do it with a smile on our face. We don't want to be comparing anything to anybody else. Lord, we want to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, Lord. We want to weep with those who weep. And Father, we just want to be a secure body that is doing what you are calling us to be. And so, Father, I pray that you come, Lord, and fill us to go out by the power of your Holy Spirit to minister to this community, to be the church that you are calling us to be. And so, Father, I pray that you would just be with us. Guide us, lead us, strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.